Self-judgment is important because it helps you to better see yourself. Enemy would love to keep your mind and my mind blinded as to where we are at in our faith. As you see there on the front of your papers there, it says, "Where do I measure up?" The Word of God is my measuring line or my ruler. I have to make sure that I feed that spiritual man. We were in Galatians last week, right? Let's go back over to Galatians again. I believe it was Galatians chapter number 5. I didn't get out of verse number 1. But when we say that Jesus has saved us, we're free. That's the only time you're free, is when Jesus has saved you. It's the only time that you and I are free is when Jesus has saved us. Until then, we're shackled by sin. Sin has us captivated. Sin has us in shackles. Sin has us in bondage. So we need Jesus to free us. So in Galatians 5:1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath done what? Made us free." All right. "And be not entangled again." Right? So that's a choice. That's a choice. Once Jesus frees us, we have to maintain our minds on staying free. That's a choice. Freedom is a choice. When the Lord frees you, you have to keep your mind on being free. Don't let the enemy encourage you or motivate you or persuade you to go back into a life of bondage. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and don't be entangled again in that yoke of bondage. As we said on last week, the yoke was designed to control and direct. Jesus told us to take his yoke upon us, right? Yes. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." No, that's not the one. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." That's in Matthew, I believe, chapter number 11. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is what?" So we see here two yokes are described here in Scripture. The yoke that Jesus have and the yoke of bondage. And we have to make a conscious decision or a choice to say, "I want Jesus to control me. I want Jesus to be my Lord, my master, my ruler, my guide." All right? Now, in verse number, I wanted you all to drop down now to verse number 6. It says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Now, one of the challenges of the early church was they thought that the church was just for the Jews. They didn't see Gentile salvation. They didn't understand. And therefore, when you had Gentiles coming into the church, they did their best to make them adopt to the Jewish principles or the Jewish rules. And Paul was saying that, you know, that has nothing, how we were born has nothing to do with our salvation. Our salvation is completely dependent upon our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's how we are justified. We are declared righteous by our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Not by our ethnicity, not by whether we do certain practices based upon our culture or our ancestral lines. Jews, one of their rules were to be circumcised, right? And that is what made the distinction between the Jew and the Gentile. Well, we know now that that's not the case. Most males are circumcised at birth because they found it was just that it was a health benefit. So the Jews can't even hold on to that no more. They can't even hold on to the being able to identify their seed by circumcision because, again, most males, because of the health thing, were circumcised at birth. Now, Paul is saying that in verse number 6, he says that in Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor what? Uncircumcision. But faith, which worketh by what? Right. And see, that's where the enemy wants us to be blindsided on. He doesn't want us to see the importance of the value of love being a part of what we do. All of our service to Jesus and our service to others should be motivated by love. You know, when you sing your praise songs, it should be motivated by love for Jesus. You come to church, it should be motivated by love for Jesus. When you testify about the goodness of Jesus, it should be motivated by a love for Jesus. Anything outside of that doesn't give Jesus his praise that he's due. Doesn't give Jesus the glory that he's due because yourself is involved or flesh is involved. Now, if we go down to verse number 7, verse number 7 says you did run well, but who did what? Hinder you, right? Mm-hmm. Now, according to verse number 7, hindrances can be stuff, but in Paul's example, it was an actual individual. It was the teaching of an individual. And that's what we have to be careful about. You know, when we are dealing with people, you don't want anyone to get into your mind and cause you to waver in your faith towards Jesus. You know, by the things that they say or the things that they do. You have oftentimes heard me say over the past couple of weeks about the distractions, the things that take your mind or your focus off of where your mind and your focus should be. Writer is asking you, you were running well. You had your focus on Jesus. You were running the race that Jesus laid out before you, this race of faith. You all know that when the scripture says that. Fight that good fight of faith. Lay hold on what? Eternal life. We were running well. We had our focus on Jesus like we were supposed to. But then he asked you a question. Who did what? Hinder you. Who did you let distract you from off of your goal? Who did you let take your mind off of Jesus? And that's each and every one of us. I think we should always be examining ourselves to make sure that we don't let people, places, or things. You know how when you're in school, they told you that the nouns are what? People, places, or things. You don't let those things take your mind off of Jesus. There are many. I oftentimes tell you all, if you're looking for an excuse, they're a dime a dozen. It's just like you walking down the pharmacy aisle. You say, well, I need some pain relief. And it's just not one, it's several. And then you got different brands, and then you got the store saying, I'm going to jump into this too. Say, I'm going to jump into this bandwagon and make some money too. And then you read the store brand, say Tylenol, and then the store brand may say something else, but then they'll tell you, we got the same ingredients as Tylenol. Everybody's got an option. And if we're looking for excuses to take our minds off of Jesus, there are many. There are many excuses. There are many things out there to occupy your thoughts. There are many things out there to take your mind and your focus off of Jesus, to slow your progress down. You're running, running, running for Jesus, and then you find yourself slowing down. You say, well, why did you slow down? What slowed you down from being excited about Jesus? And Paul is telling them, you were running well. saints, you were running well, but who hindered you? Who hindered you? And how did that hindrance come? That you should do what? Not obey, right? That you should not obey the truth, right? Jesus is truth. Jesus gives us truth concerning ourselves, concerning his plan. One thing I've learned in this way of salvation is that in order for a person to really be saved, they first have to see themselves. They have to see the errors of their ways. They have to see where they're coming up short. Where are they at in the faith? And then you seek Jesus to help you. You don't look for excuses or reasons why you're coming up short. You seek Jesus to help you. We'll say, you say, Elder Scudder, if I'm looking at that spiritual man chart or that spiritual man graph and I'm struggling in fasting, I notice I'm not fasting like I should. Well, that means you should be seeking Jesus to help your fasting life. You just can't put that to the side and say, well, I'm struggling in fasting, therefore I'm never going to fast. Well, you're never going to get some prayers answered. Because Jesus done told you some things are not going to come but by what? Fasting and praying, right? Some things you're going to have to fast your way through. Some things you're going to have to deny yourself. You say, I want the Holy Ghost. You can't receive the Holy Ghost unless you deny yourself. You got to understand self stands at that door of your mind and does everything it can do to prevent Jesus from coming in. Even when you are down there in prayer, you think about the stuff that's in your front of your brain, the stuff that goes across your thoughts while you're there trying to call Jesus. You say, well, Scudder, you hear me say, call Jesus. Open up your mouth and call Jesus by his name. Something in your mind is trying to be resistant to that instruction. You say, well, I am calling Jesus. Nobody asked you what you were doing. You know, this is my responsibility to you to encourage you in your prayer life. You know, I'm encouraging you, open up your mouth and call on the name of Jesus. And if you be honest with yourself, you have all kind of thoughts concerning the behavior that you're engaging in. Say, oh, how long are we going to be down here? I've been calling Jesus for X amount of time and nothing is happening. I don't feel anything. Well, that's yourself. Self stands at the door of your mind to prevent you from feeling Jesus. You have to deny yourself. You have to move self out of the way. Self, it tries itself to manifest itself in your body. So you'll start feeling sweat. I can remember when I was down there tarrying for the Holy Ghost, the oil would leak from my head and get down in my eye. And that would be the worst. Because, you know, it's not like liquid. And the more you itch or scratch, it's like you made that thing worse. And you all got it good now. The missionaries, they used to say, they used to get in your face and say, forget about yourself. Forget about yourself. Call Jesus. And you be trying your best to call Jesus. Stop scratching. Call Jesus. Call Jesus. And you have your hands down or whatever. They'll come by and lift your hands back up. And say, put your mind on Jesus. Call Jesus. Call Jesus. Call Jesus. But that was necessary. It was necessary because in order for me to receive the Holy Ghost, I had to get out of myself. I had to get to a point in my mind that self was not in control or self wasn't dominant. Self wasn't getting the most of my attention. Not it wasn't there, but it wasn't getting the most of my attention. And, you know, when I did that, Jesus was able to have his way in my life. Jesus was always there, but self was stopping him. Jesus was like, it was as though I will do for you, but you have to move yourself out of the way. You know, it's no different than you know how you are at an intersection. You know how you have a four-way intersection? And if a car gets in the middle of the intersection, what does that do to everybody else? Think about it. It stops the progress. In order for the progress to happen, that car has got to be moved. Well, in order for Jesus to progress in your life, self has to be moved. Self is there as a hindrance. And you ought to see it. You ought to see it. You ought to acknowledge it. You say, oh, this is what is preventing me from being saved. This is what is stopping me from receiving Jesus into me. You know, I'm calling on him. Remember, Jesus is the saving name. I'm calling on Jesus. But something is hindering me from being saved. And the writer is telling you who, right? Who's hindering you? Who's hindering you that you shouldn't obey the truth? What truth? That Jesus' name will save you. Not it can save you, it will. That's the truth. And you have to obey that truth. Or say, I have to obey that truth. That Jesus' name will save me. So someone say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I have to obey that truth. And I have to show Jesus. I'm being obedient to that, Jesus. I'm willing and I'm obedient to this truth. Don't make it too complex. Whatever truths the Lord reveal to you, be obedient to that truth. The Lord will work with you. He will show you things that need to be changed in your life. He will show you things that need to be let go and things that you need to start doing. But you need to be obedient to the truth. Whatever truth Jesus is showing you, you need to obey it, right? That's truth. It's just a simple thing. That we're going to get down on our knees and we're going to call on Jesus. You have to obey that truth. The scriptures is telling you that the name of the Lord is your salvation. There's no other salvation for you in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So you have to obey that truth. You have to say, if I want salvation, I can only get it through the name of Jesus. And the Lord said, if you want anything out of heaven, you've got to call on his name. You've got to ask in his name. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, be persistent. Be diligent. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Everyone that asks does what? That's right. See, when I'm not receiving the Holy Ghost, only place I can go is back to me. What is stopping me from receiving the Holy Ghost? Because the Lord had already promised if I want it, all I had to do is ask for it. Right? I have to ask Jesus. Jesus, fill me with the Holy Ghost, right? And he will talk back to you through his word. He said, if you want anything from me, you've got to ask in my name, right? That's the truth. I got to let that name be my voice, right? You say, Elder Scott, I want a glass of water. Well, Elder Scott, I want some bread to eat. Jesus is saying, you need to let my name be all that you need to get from me. So instead of me asking for water, saying, Jesus, I want some water because I'm thirsty. All I got to do is just say, Jesus, right? And say, Jesus, I want some bread because I'm hungry. Jesus said, I don't want you to tell me but you want some bread. Just call my name. Just realize that everything you need is going to be in my name. My name will satisfy you, right? Come on, do y'all believe that? You have to believe it. You have to obey that truth so that when the Lord say, call on him and he'll show you great and mighty things. That means you don't have to go through and ask the Lord to show me this, show me that, show me this, show me that. Prove yourself here, prove yourself there. Nah, just put all of your trust in his name, right? Come on, go over to the book of Hebrews really quick. Hold your finger there in Galatians because I'm coming back to it. Hebrews 2, starting at verse number 9. Hebrews 2 and 9. Yes. Yes. Now that devil don't want you to see Jesus. He don't want you to see Jesus. He doesn't want you to see Jesus. He wants you to pay attention to other stuff. He wants you to pay attention to things that don't mean anything. Stuff that don't have nothing to do with preparing you to go back with Jesus when he comes. If he can just keep your mind off of Jesus. But you've got to look past all of that. You got to look. I can remember when I was tearing for the Holy Ghost, I had to look past everything. I was struggling so hard to see Jesus in my mind. And it was though I was running in my mind, I just was running through the woods. And it seemed like every time I would get close to some kind of a light, some kind of a glimpse of hope, it seemed like the trees just kept getting thicker and thicker. And no matter what, it was just beating me upside my head, trying to prevent me from seeing Jesus. And I realized after I received the Holy Ghost, it was nothing but self. It was nothing but myself trying to release it. He did not want to let go. Self doesn't want to let go. Self doesn't want to lose its control. Self doesn't want to lose its influence over you. Self wants to still be your God. Self wants you to give it all of your attention. Right? Self. Self. It wants you to give it all of your attention. It counsels you. It be talking to you all in your mind. It tries to reason with you. But you've got to deny, a person has to deny themselves. Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you've got to learn to do what? Deny yourself. You got to learn to deny yourself and take up your cross. Do y'all realize that doesn't add up? That doesn't add up. When the Lord says deny yourself, take up your cross, think about the concept of what he's saying. He knows that the cross is going to be a thing that is going to be heavy to bear. He realized the cross is not going to be something that's going to be convenient. But he's telling you, in order for you to carry the cross, you first must learn to deny yourself. In order for you to receive the Holy Ghost, you must first learn to deny yourself. It can't be about you. It can't be about how you're feeling. You have to let Jesus be God, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
That's the truth. That's what the writer is saying. But we see Jesus. No matter what's going on, you got to see Jesus. He was made a little all for you. Jesus did all of this for you. He put himself in an accessible position. Just for you, he put himself in a position where he can be touched, where he can be felt, where he can be loved, huh? Where you can grab hold of him. Come on, think about that. The Lord gave all of them people in the Old Testament, they did not know his name. Yet they wrote about the name. Isn't that something? But they didn't know the name. But they still wrote about the value of the name. Now you're living in a day and time, you know the name. You know the name. Why would you let the devil keep the name out of your mouth when all of your help is in the name, right? All of your help. Not some of it, all of it. All of it is in the name. Huh? Come on, that's true. If anything, we should be is a people that are crazy about the name. You know everything about us. People should say, y'all are always talking about the name of Jesus. Every time I hear you, y'all, all of your songs are talking about Jesus. Y'all know, I know it. I know every praise song, some kind of way when the beat is kind of fast, we throw it in there. Some kind of way, and there are people that are like, I just don't understand. Every time y'all get to a song, y'all going to throw Jesus up in there some way. Why? Because we put our trust in the name. The name has supplied all of our needs. It has met all of our needs. That's true. The name has met all of our needs. It is no longer a mystery to us. The mystery is no longer a mystery to us. You know, the mystery that has been hidden is no longer hidden to us. I know what it is like to have Jesus living down on the inside of me. I know what that feels like. I know that experience. What it is like to have Christ in me. I know what it is like to have a hope of a glorified body. I know what it is like to look beyond this flesh. Most people can't see beyond the flesh. This is all they see is their body. But when you have Jesus in you, he gives you hope beyond the flesh. That's the truth. We see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels. Yes. Crowned with glory and honor.
And he, by the grace of God,
yes. Yes. That's truth. Keep going.
For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons.
Yes.
Lord,
yes.
To make the captain of his salvation.
Salvation. Every time I hear about that, I think about Joshua. When Joshua was about to go to war, and he saw this great big old giant standing outside his tent, and Joshua asked him a question, whose side are you on? Right? And Joshua, the giant said, I'm not on nobody's side. In other words, I'm the captain. I'm the captain of salvation. If you're the one that has to choose. Jesus doesn't have to choose. We're the ones that have to make a choice. Whose side are we going to be on? Whose side are we going to be living for, saints? You got to make a conscious decision. I want to live for Jesus. Amen. I want to live for Jesus. Jesus is my life. That's the truth. Jesus is my life. Everything else centers around. Jesus is the center of it all. Everything else evolves. It goes around Jesus. Even my family, everything goes around Jesus. Jesus is the center of it all. That's the truth, saints. Jesus is the center of my life. Everything revolves around him. I'm working real hard to bring Matthew 6 and 33. I'm working real hard at that. I just don't read that scripture, but I work real hard at that. When the scripture says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, I work real hard at that. I'm living around a bunch of people that don't want to do that. They don't want to seek Jesus first. They don't want to put Jesus first. But I believe what the scripture is telling me, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be what? The world don't understand that. But that is my faith. That is where I am at in my faith. I'm seeking Jesus first. Jesus is before everything else. The world tell you, go do this, go do that. But Jesus must be first. Jesus must be first. That's true. Well, even when I'm sick, when I'm not feeling well, Jesus is still first. Say, oh no, I got to get to Jesus. Why? Because he's my healer. As my body's going to be healed, he's my healer. Right? Yeah, I'll take Tylenol, but at the end of the day, I'm going to cry out to Jesus. Jesus, you know what's going on in my body. You made my body. And if anybody got the power to heal it, you have the power to heal my... You don't just have the power, you got the authority. You're the one that's over my body. You got the authority over my body, right? That's truth. Come on, keep going.
And it says here, for both he that sanctified
and they that are sanctified are one. Huh? Ain't that the truth? Well, where did you become one with Jesus? When I went down in that water. When I went down in that water in the name of Jesus Christ, I took on Jesus. I took on Jesus by baptism. Don't know ye not, as many of us as were baptized unto Jesus, were baptized unto his death. We are buried with him by baptism. You are no longer your own. You have been bought with the price. What price have you been bought with? The blood is now on you. That's why he says, they that are sanctified and he that is the one that sanctifies, we are both one, right? Keep going.
For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brothers.
Yeah, it's truth. Keep going. What will Jesus do? He's going to declare the name to his brethren, right? Come on. That let me know relationship, right? Relationship is based upon the name. That's how I can, I hear a whole lot. I see a lot, but I don't see the relationship. Because if you have relationship, you should be all about the name. The name is your sign. You say, show me. The name is your sign. The name is your sign that you're in relationship with Jesus. You don't have no name, you have no relationship. He said he's going to declare the name to the brother. Huh? Those that have a relationship with him. Huh? He has made known his name to those who he calls his brother. brother. Huh? That's the true saints. That's me. That's you. We are people for the name. We ain't got nothing else. We've got the name. Huh? We don't have anything else. We have the name. And we cannot let the name be silenced. We can't let the name be pushed down. We've got to exalt that name with everything inside of us. We cannot be ashamed of the name. That's the truth. His name has to be everything to us. Has to be our joy. Has to be our peace. His name must be our life. Huh? Come on. Read a little bit more.
And it says here, if I'm in the midst of the church,
Yes. Where are we going? What are we going to do in the midst of the church? We're going to sing praise. That's the truth. Why would I let an opportunity go by where the Lord have given me the privilege and the honor to praise him? Right? Lord told you, if you got breath, praise him. Everything that has breath ought to do what? Praise Jesus. Tell us, God, I don't know all the songs. Grab a word out of it. Just sit there and listen until you grab a word. And say, oh, I know, every time the beat come around, that y'all say this word. And jump in. Jump in with the word that you know. In other words, don't let an opportunity to praise Jesus pass you by. Because that's what he expects for you in his church. Huh? Come on, read that verse again.
And it's that saying, I will declare thy name unto my brother.
Yes.
In the midst of the church will I sing praise.
That's right. The Lord is looking for the saints to praise him. Praise him in the church. One writer said, praise him in the sanctuary. Right? Come on, clap your hands. Oh, ye saints. Huh? Sing to the Lord with the voice of triumph. As a group of people that have overcome. That have become victorious. We're not a defeated people. We are people that have been victorious. Anybody can tell you what it is like to get over the attacks of Satan, it should be the same. Saints should know the devil has been attacking me left and right. But I'm here because I'm victorious. I made it through. Huh? If it was up to the devil, I would not be here. But I made it through. And the least I could do is praise him for bringing me through, right? That's the truth. That's the least I could do is praise him. For bringing me through. So many people have fallen by the wayside. Huh? I've seen saints fall by the wayside. Just get stuck. I mean, they get stuck. And I be looking at them. I say, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Don't you know Jesus? Don't you know the power of Jesus? You don't have to sit by the side of the road and say, woe is me. No, Jesus has given you the victory. All you got to do is put your trust in his name. He's given you the victory, right? That's the truth. All you have to do is put your trust in his name. But it requires you to get out of yourself. Self will tell you, sit by the side of the road. Remember that fella who was at the pool? Huh? Remember that fella that was at the pool when the angels would come by and trouble the water? And everybody had somebody to help them get to the water. And when the angels troubled the water, everybody got blessed. But that fella that was on the side of the road, he said, I don't have anybody to help me. I have no one to help me get in the water when the angels come by and trouble him. Little did he know, he was talking to the greatest power. He was talking to the greatest power on the earth. All he had to do is ask. Huh? Come on, saints, do y'all believe it? All you have to do is ask. Ask Jesus to do it for you, right? Ask him to do it for you. Even though it seemed impossible. Ask Jesus to do it for you. Show him, Lord, I believe. Huh? Show Jesus, Lord, I've got faith in you. Right? Anybody could do it. I believe you can do it, Jesus. I believe you got the power to do it. Lord, bless that brother. Lord, bless that brother without his feet ever getting wet. Isn't that something? Y'all believe the power of Jesus? He didn't have to get into the water. He did not have to get into the water. All he had to do was be touched by Jesus. Don't you realize that's why you come to church? You come in these doors for the Lord to touch you. Huh? Some kind of way I need Jesus to come by and touch me. Touch my mind. Touch my body. Touch my soul. Jesus, touch me, right? Let me know you're right here. Let me know you're right here. Let me know you're right here. You're right here with me. Let me know that your word is yet true. When you say, I never leave you nor forsake you. Huh? Let me know it, Lord Jesus. Let me feel the power of your word. Huh? Come on, that's truth. Come on, read me a little bit. Keep me moving. Hebrews. See? Come on. Y'all understand this? What do I have to do, saints? I got to put my trust. Huh? Come on, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to what? See, you got to get self out of the way. Your own understanding will play tricks on your mind. You ever wonder when you start to get anxious and get nervous? It's because of your own thoughts. It's what's going on in your own mind. It's your mind trying to comprehend what is going on. And the only one that knows the end from the beginning of a thing is Jesus. He's the only one who knows the end from the beginning of a thing. You don't even know what your evening is going to look like. Huh? Do y'all understand that? You don't know what the next minute is going to bring. Huh? Come on, you jump up. You get about your bed with one expectation. And then so many things happen. And you be saying to yourself, but this is not what I was planning. This is not what I was prepared for. But the Lord was trying to let you know nothing. You know nothing. Jesus is the only one that knows the end from the beginning of the thing. You need to learn to put your trust in Jesus. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Jesus. Huh? And ask him. Huh? Jesus, direct me. Jesus, show me where I need to go at. Show me where I belong at. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you get in here. You say, oh, this God, I feel so good in me because the Lord is trying to show you this is where you belong. Huh? Come on, isn't that the truth? You thank the Lord you didn't harden your heart. Huh? You didn't harden your heart. So many people harden their heart. When the Lord showed them love, when the Lord showed them a good feeling, they say, oh, yeah, this is where I belong at. You say, well, come on. Come on and go with me. Come on and run with me. Come on and serve the Lord with me. You say, oh, I haven't made up my mind yet. No, 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 no. This is not the time to be contemplating. This is not the time to be tossed between two opinions. You need to make up your mind what you're going to do, right? Come on. You need to make up your mind what you're going to do. Either you've got to have a mind to serve Jesus. And if you don't serve Jesus, there's only one left. You're not serving Jesus, you're serving the devil. Huh? Don't you realize the devil wants you to serve him? Because he knows if you serve him, you're going to have to spend eternity with him. The devil is on his way to hell. He's on his way to torment. You have to make up your mind, I don't want to go to hell, right? I don't want torment. I want to live in peace. Jesus is the one that says, I give you peace, right? My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, but my peace I leave with you. Don't let your heart be what? Trouble. See, that's what you get all of those trouble feelings out there in that world. But think about how you feel when you come in here. The Lord removes the trouble. He removes the trouble. It's not as though the Lord is telling the trouble, I am the answer. I am the remedy. I am the solution to all of your trouble, right? Let not your heart be troubled. And neither let it be what afraid. Huh? Come on. You believe in God. Jesus said, believe also in me. Huh? Lord said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Huh? If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go away to do what? Prepare. Now, if the Lord is going away to prepare a place for you, you should be getting yourself ready for it. That should be your focus. I got to be getting ready for that prepared place that Jesus has gone away to prepare for me, right? Come on, it's got to be righteous. That place has got to be righteous. Because Psalm said the Lord has prepared his throne for judgment. And he's going to judge the world in righteousness. He's going to minister judgment to the people in uprightness, right? So the place got to be righteous. Place ain't got to be, it's not a little bit of boopty bop in that place. No, 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 no. The Lord has taken away all of that stuff. There's no darkness there. There's no grayness there. Lord has removed all of that. Huh? Come on. He's taken away the violence. He's taken away the pain and suffering. That's not in that place where Jesus has prepared for us. That's why we got to long for it. We got to long and cry out for it. We have to have a craving, an appetite to go back with Jesus. Huh? Come on. There's got to be a desire inside of us. A longing. Huh? That's what Paul says, every day I'm groaning. I'm longing to be where Jesus is. Huh? Come on, saints. That devil will try to make you lose your groan. And try to make you lose your desire to be where Jesus is. But there has to be a groaning inside of you. There has to be a longing inside of you. Say, I want to be with Jesus. I want to be absent from this body. I want to be present with the Lord. Huh? Come on. And if the Lord should tarry, the Lord should keep me in this body. He's keeping me in this body for the saints, for the sake of the saints, for the sake of the sinner, so that I can help that sinner, help that saint get the focus on Jesus, right? Not on me. It's no more. I can't look at the day as an opportunity to be focused on myself. No. I got to look at it and say, the Lord have kept me on the earth one more day to help that sinner. Huh? Help that sinner. Help that saint. Huh? Encourage him. Huh? Oh, yeah. Encourage my brothers. Encourage my sisters. Keep your faith in Jesus. Huh? Don't get weary. Huh? Don't get weary, saints. Don't get weary in doing what is right. Don't get weary in well doing. You will reap. Huh? Devil just wants you to give up. Just wants you to throw in the towel. He just wants you to sit down and say, I can't do it no more. I can't take it no more. You do that, the devil will be so happy with you. But you just got to have a mind to fight through it. So it's good, I ain't got no more strength. Just stretch out. Stretch out with everything inside of you. See, I just got my arms is going to fall. Just let them fall. Let them fall to the earth. Huh? Lord, know your heart's desire. One thing I know is Jesus knows your heart. You don't get nothing from Jesus. It's because he knows your heart. He know your heart ain't right. Huh? He know your heart ain't where it needs to be at. Therefore, he's telling you, I'm giving you a little bit more time to get your heart and your mind right. So that I can give you the blessing that you deserve. The blessing that you desire, right? Come on, read me a little bit more.
And it says here, for Jesus. And again, I will put my trust in
yes.
Him to give the whole and I the children which God have given me.
Yes.
The children
are partakers of flesh and blood.
He also himself.
What did our God do? Huh? What did our God do? That spirit became flesh. Huh? That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses are confused. They say, oh no, there's no way that Jesus can be God. Huh? But they don't read this scripture. Just like the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise took part of the same. Huh? Who is the he? Talking about the God. Huh? The God that made himself a little lower than the angels. Huh? The God that crowned himself with glory and honor. Why did he make himself a little lower than the angels? That he, by the grace of God, should taste death. Huh? Come on, God cannot die. Y'all understand that, saints? God cannot die. But he can taste death. How did he taste death? He tasted it through the body of Jesus. Oh, when Jesus got up on that cross, He said it is finished. Huh? And what happened to that body? That body hung its head and it died. But did that stop God? No. God went down into the lower parts of the earth and preached salvation to all of those that were waiting from the days of Adam to the days Jesus said it's finished, right?
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Went down in that lower parts of the earth. He led those that were in captivity. He led them out. He broke those chains. Huh? Come on, he opened up the grave. He opened up the earth. And the earth spit out its dead. Come on. Spit out its dead, and the dead showed themselves. They showed themselves that they were no longer dead, but alive. Huh? Amen. And they didn't do it by themselves. He led them out. Come on, the captain of salvation. He led them out. He became the first fruits of them that slept. Huh? He became the first fruit, first partake of life. Huh? He became the first fruit. Huh? Come on our side, it was 3 days. Come on, but over in eternity, there was no clock to measure it. Huh? That's why when he crossed over into eternity, scripture said he died and the veil in the temple was ripped. Huh? Come on, and many bodies of the saints rose. He got up out the grave, right? He led them out of the grave, right? Come on. And after 3 days, he went back and got his body. Got his body from out of that tomb. Moved that heavy rock. Knocked all them soldiers out. And when the saints came to see the body of Jesus, they could not find that body. That body was no longer there. Come on, that's what that song that the men are singing. If you miss my body, don't you worry about me. Why? Because I'm just going up. That song got to have meaning to you, saints. Come on, the world will have your funeral one day. But if they miss your body, don't you sit there and worry about me. Why? Because I'm preparing to go back with Jesus. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing, so that I can go back with Jesus when he comes, right?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I don't want to miss the rapture. I don't want to miss the rapture.
Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
That's truth.
Yes, it is.
I'm working hard. That whether I'm dead or alive,
amen,
I shall be accepted. Yeah. Come on, saints, is that truth? Whether I'm dead or I'm alive, I want the Lord to put his stamp of approval. Thank you, Jesus. I want him to put his stamp of approval on my life. I want him to look at my life and say, approve. I don't want the Lord to reject me. I want the Lord to say, you are approved, right? I want him to count me worthy. To go back with him. That's the truth. That's why I fight hard. Amen. You got to fight hard for this. Even when you don't feel well, you got to fight hard at this. Huh? When the weight of the world seems against you, you have to fight hard at this. You got to let the Lord know, Jesus, you're first. Huh? It's not as though I don't understand your pain. It's not as though I don't know what you're going through. But I know your soul is more important than your body. Your soul is more important than your body. Huh? And you got to cry out, Lord, let my soul live, right?
Thank you,
Jesus.
Jesus
says, let my soul live. Huh? No matter what happened to my body, just let my soul do what? Huh? Let my soul tap into life. Let my soul grab hold of life. Don't let my soul let go of life. Huh? Come on, saints.
Amen.
Don't let my soul let go of life. Come on, saints. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him. Come on, saints. Do y'all realize the Lord is working? When you got the Holy Ghost, the Lord is working. He's working on you. He's not through working on you. What is he doing for me? He's destroying. Come on. He's destroying the one that's got the power of death, that's trying to hold you back captive. That thing called death don't want you to be free, right? Come on, do y'all understand this? Lord, let's put this thing together. He said, I'm going to come down in the flesh to destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. All of your lifetimes you were subject. All of your lifetime. Come on, in Galatians 5 and 1, tell us to stand fast in the liberty with who? God came down in the flesh. Come on, he has not stopped working in the flesh. This is what you get the Holy Ghost for. You get Christ in you. That's the Holy Ghost, is God in your flesh. What is he doing? He's destroying him that had the power of death. Him that has the power of death. And who is that that got the power of death? That's the devil. The devil is the one that's fighting you, saints. But you got to have your mind made up. I will not let him win, right? I will not. I will not let him win. He's attacking. Is the devil attacking? He's attacking on every side. You feel it. You feel it. You tell it. Feel it. Say, oh yeah, it's nobody but the devil. Attacking where? Me. He's attacking me way on every side. Trying to be a distraction. Trying to be a hindrance. And the writer say, "Who you are running well. You are running well, saints. Who hindered you? Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? Who hindered you? Who did you let get in your way? Who did you let get in your way? And he still got a hold of you. No, he ain't got no hold of me. Yes, he do. He got a hold of you. Because verse number 14 say, Galatians 5 and 14. 5 and 14. All right, so feel in one word, even in this, thou love thy neighbor as thyself. Keep going, next verse. Why are you biting and devouring? Don't you say you got no Jesus. That ain't no Jesus give you a mind to do that. The devil got a hold of your mind. Why? Because you're biting and devouring one another, right?
Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You're biting and devouring one another. You ought to do what? Take heed. That you be not consumed. In other words, we are our worst enemy. See, your Elder Scudder, what prevents the church from growing? You. Amen. Me. What stops the church from growing? You. Me. Because the devil said, if I can just keep you biting and devour one. Y'all understand this, saints? If I could just keep you biting and devouring who? One another. They will never see Jesus. You'll be talking about him. You'll be talking about him. But they will never see him. Why do you think he's attacking your home like you do? Because he don't want those that are looking to be saved. He don't want them to see Jesus. But you got to say within yourself, no, 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 no. Satan, you are not going to do this. You are not going to do this. As for me and my house. Is that what Joshua said? As for me and my house. We are going to do what? Now you got a choice. Do you want to be with me or against me, right? But as for me and my house, we going to do what? Serve the Lord. Now when the Lord moved them folk. Because they made a choice. Amen. Some folk, you go and you tell them, come on, let's go serve the Lord. And they say, I don't want this. Now, when the Lord moved them, because he is going to move them. It's only a matter of time.
Hallelujah.
I'm sorry, saints. You can love your loved ones as much as you want to love them. But I'm trying to tell you, the Lord is in the business of saving your soul. Huh? Y'all understand this? He is in the business of saving your soul. And if that means cutting off dead weight, he's going to cut it off. Especially when them folk don't want to be saved. And they are hindrance. They're a hindrance to your spiritual nature. Here you trying to keep your mind on Jesus. And they carnal. They ain't nothing but fleshly minded. They got death on their mind.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I'm telling you, what did the Lord say? I came in the flesh to do. I came to destroy him that had the power of death. That is.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Now you realize that may be your wife or your husband, your son or your daughter. The devil may embody them. That's why you thank the Lord when the devil don't get in your loved ones. And you still can work with them. But then when you see the devil get in them, you best believe the Lord is going to work. Huh? Lord is going to work and he's going to move them right out of the way. Huh? And the only thing you can do is just say, yes, Lord. Huh? Yes, Lord. Why? Because he gave that devil space and time. He said, I gave Jezebel space and time to do what? Repent.
Hallelujah.
She refused.
Huh?
She refused it.
Jesus.
And that's when you see
Jesus.
The enemy dude getting there. One thing is true. When the enemy get in somebody's mind, ain't nothing you really can do for him. Take the notes from Jesus. When the devil got into Judas, there was nothing Jesus could do for Judas. Huh? According to the scripture said that Judas' heart and mind was filled with Satan. Huh? And what did the Lord say? Whatever you're going to do. In other words, the Lord took his hands off him. That's why you thank the Lord. You say, Jesus, no matter what I go through, please don't take your hands. Please don't take your hands off of me. Keep on working with me. I don't care how hard I sing, Jesus, keep working with me, right? Please don't take your hands off of me. Oh, Jesus, please. Even over my children, please don't take your hands off my children. Please, Jesus. Please don't take your hands off them. Because I realize if the devil get him, there's nothing I can do for him, right? When the devil get in him, there's nothing you can do for him. Oh, yes. This is why I pray, Jesus. Sometimes they seem rebellious. Yes, they do. They seem rebellious, but I just pray. I said, Jesus, please break down that stubborn heart. Help them to see the truth. Then every now and then they come right back. I'm sorry. I say, thank you, Jesus. They didn't get so bad off that you can't work with them. But when they get so bad off that you can't work with them, that's when you need to step back and say, Jesus, whatever you're going to do, amen, right? Because he is going to work. Huh? Do y'all believe that?
Yes.
The Lord says that he is going to work. You just need to move yourself out of the way. And let the Lord do his what? Do his work. Huh? Come on. I'm done. I'm going to stop. But realize how the two scriptures go together, saints. The Lord said he came down in the flesh. Why do you have the Holy Ghost? You say, Elder Scott, I got the Holy Ghost because I got joy and peace. And oh, yeah, that's good. You're supposed to have some joy. You're supposed to have some peace. You're supposed to have some love in you. But the Lord has got another task. Another task that don't feel good. It don't feel good when the Lord break down, do it? No, because he swings and he has no mercy. He has no mercy when he swings. You never had the Lord swing in your life? He seems like he has no mercy. All you can do is just humbly say, Jesus, just give me the strength to go through. Because he is going to work. But you got to realize what he's doing. He's not destroying you. He's destroying the works of the devil. Huh? Come on, is that true? Sometimes we don't let the devil come in and set up camp. Amen. You ain't even know he was there. But the Lord knew it. His camp started off with some twigs and some fabric. But then you done left him in there long enough, he done laid a foundation. he done laid a solid foundation. That devil done went out and got some bricks. And the Lord said, you sure you want to be saved? You say, yeah, Lord, I want to be saved. He said, okay. You got a little bit of peace, got a little bit of joy, a little happiness. All right, stay happy, stay joyous. But then the Lord said, you say, Jesus, where did this hammer come from? The Lord said, I got work to do. And then he get the swing and say, boom, boom, boom. You say, well, it look like my whole life is messed up. No, it's not. Your life is not messed up. Jesus said, I am going to do this work. Right. What work are you going to do? I'm going to get rid of all of the works of the devil. Huh? From who? From Sister John? No, from out of your life. Huh? This was between me and you right now. Huh? And you just got to say, amen, Jesus. Amen, Jesus. Keep on working. Keep on working. Don't stop until you finish, Lord Jesus. But you got to be willing. You got to be willing. You can't fight the process. You can't fight it. You got to be willing. The Lord say, let that thing go. You got to be willing to say, okay. Got to let it go. Not knowing what the end going to be. Remember, it's a faith. It's a walk of what? Faith. Faith is the substance of things. What? Hope for. Not knowing what the end is going to be. But I just trust in Jesus to give me my heart's desires, right? Amen. 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 Trust y'all got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against Jesus. We get a little bit more into this self-judgment.